Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey guys, Amy here. I just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee, you ask? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the link to our Buy Me a Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, or at our blog, which is www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Bianca. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast. Well, we're all living the vida lockdown, but now we're free and Sydney's not.
And they won't be for a long time the way they're going. So sorry about it, guys.
Yeah.
Get comfortable.
I feel sorry for you because we lived it. We really, like, I laughed at first, but now I'm like, oh, this isn't funny. I lived it and I know how much anxiety I have. Yeah. Much love for you guys. You'll get through it.
If we could just direct you to, what do we call it?
Let's talk about lockdown.
Yeah. If we could just direct you to that episode with some helpful tidbits on how to survive a long lockdown, because the winter is long and the night is full of terrors. So, yeah. Buy your wine by the box, people. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. So we take aim at one topic each week, along with a bottle or three of wine, and we try to make some sense of it and each other. So, ladies, what are we drinking tonight?
I ran to the bottle shop to buy Brown Brothers, Dolcetto and Syrah.
Oh, nice.
Because, yeah, it's cold.
Yeah.
This is delicious.
Yeah.
I am drinking Feet on the Ground Merlot. My feet need to stay on the ground because my head is so confused by all the research I had to do for this week's topic. So,
Well, I'm drinking Taylor's and it's called One Small Step. It's a Cab Merlot. And I picked it simply for that. Its title of One Small Step. It goes well with this topic. So, Sarah, what is the topic?
Well, tonight's topic is, there's no way to know. None.
No.
We're fine.
No.
Yeah. Sorry. Dine's magic.
I'm doing spirit fingers now that you can see them.
Oh, I'm doing the more you know.
Oh, wave.
So, when things just don't make sense of how they work, like how the fuck does that work?
Yeah.
It must be magic that only science wizards know about. There are such things, people. Look it up.
Really,
yeah,
it's really a thing.
So tonight we are going to try and explain some of the things that we don't really know how they work.
Yeah.
So I'll start. So humans have been fascinated by the idea of flight for centuries, dating all the way back to the ancient Greeks, of course.
Yep.
Where everything seems to start with the story of Daedalus, who made wings from feathers and wax so that he and his son Icarus could escape from the labyrinth and the island that they were trapped on. But unfortunately, Icarus didn't listen to his father, who said, "Don't fly too close to the sun," and he flew too close to the sun. The wax melted and he fell to his death. Lifeless, people. Life.
Right. Scrap. Flying into the sun off the bucket list. Done. Yep, got it. Keep going.
Yeah, awesome. So, for people who actually lived, who tried to fly. So, we go back first to the 11th century. I apologize for names that I'm going to fuck up severely. Alma of Malmesbury? Wing Limbs. He was a learned man for those times, and he was fascinated by flight. So he had somehow fastened wings to his hands and feet.
Yep.
Okay. So he could, you know, try to be like Daedalus and fly. I believe I can fly.
I feel like I've done this before and it didn't work out so well for me.
Yeah, anyway. Well, he jumped off like the tallest summit of the tower and was collected by the breeze. So he flew for more than 200 meters.
Wow. He wasn't flying.
He was gliding.
He wasn't flying. He was falling with style.
But yeah, he was knocked about violently by the wind. And the wind, like the air current. He was also a bit shaken while he was up there by his rash at flying. Like, oh shit, I didn't think this through.
Yep.
And he fell, broke both his legs, and was lamed for the rest of his life. Apparently he used to relate, as the cause of his failure, he forgot to provide himself a tail.
What?
Yes. That would have definitely helped.
Definitely. What was he thinking?
Why didn't you put a tail on there, mate? You needed a tail. Yeah. Maybe a fluffy one. That could have worked.
Right?
Yeah. So then we go to 1485.
Yep.
With a man that we all know as Leonardo DiCaprio. So, okay.
The man who wrote the most expensive book, as we discovered.
Yes. Yeah. So Leonardo da Vinci with his Ornithopter.
I don't even know if that's his Hornithopter.
So during his study of birds in flight, Leonardo da Vinci realized humans cannot fly by attaching wings to their arms and flapping.
Oh, mate, just found that out like 300 years before this. So, yeah.
Sherlock. Well, the reason, he actually had a reason for this. We are simply too weak and too heavy. He worked out why it would never work.
Yeah.
Thus, okay. Da Vinci designed a flying machine to overcome this, but the drawings were only conceptual, so he never attempted to build this machine. Mm-hmm. It looks like a glider.
Yeah.
Like a fancy-ass glider. The shapes are pretty and there's lots of curves and they're quite
pretty. Sarah's going to put her pictures up that she's put up for us in the drive on the blog for everybody.
All the photos I have to show these two, I will put up in the blog. I may mislabel them. I could be drunk or at work at the time. So either one, I'll probably mislabel them.
She has lots of pictures and she's going to put them all up, I promise.
So it's 1783. Joseph and Jacques Montgolfier invented the first hot air balloon. Developed the first hot air balloon using smoke from a fire to blow hot air into the silk bag attached to the basket. On its first voyage, carrying passengers, which consisted of several small farm animals. The hot air,
Their first voyage, they hadn't tested it. Let's chuck some animals in there as well because, yeah, that's a great idea.
We needed the weight, so let's chuck some animals in there.
Shit, that's not alive weighs something as well, you know. You could have chucked sacks in there.
Yes, but now those animals can go down in history as the first air balloon travellers, so.
Terrific. Anyway.
Just, there are legends about those animals in the animal kingdom. They tell them all the time. What's their name? Barry, George.
Julio.
Alfred. Rick. Julio. And Juan.
Ah.
No, there was only five of them. It was only a small basket, Amy. Shit.
Right.
So, so the hot air balloon traveled more than a mile and of a height over 1,000 feet.
Cool.
Later that year, the brothers celebrated the craft's first manned flight. So they actually used human guinea pigs this time.
Right.
Then you've got 1799 to 1850s. So this, it did span a 50-year period of this guy. So George Cayley's glider. So he was a scientific aerial investigator. Mm. So he knew shit. And he was
He knows things
about aerials. Yeah.
Yeah. So George spent his life trying to discover how to achieve flight and over the course of 50 years made numerous improvements to his glider's design. So his latest gliding machine... See, I'm skipping shit already. So his latest glider reportedly was the first gliding machine to make significant and reliable manned flights. So he's considered the father of aviation because of this.
Hmm. Okay.
So, yeah. So, for example, he's the one that identified the weight, lift, drag, and thrust as the four forces that act upon the flying machine.
Okay. And awaken Captain Planet.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, so that's his little flying machine. Then you go to Lebris, his artificial albatross. So this was inspired by an actual albatross. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah. It was the first to fly higher than its departure point. So,
okay.
So most of these flying machines, yeah, they departed from where they were and then they just kind of stayed on the same level and went down. Where his...
Yeah, because most of them are starting from a higher point and then going, yeah, you know, using basically gravity and, thrust or whatever it is, to the magic to glide across the magic, and then boom, down.
Yeah.
So this guy actually
started,
used
he started
real
down.
Magic.
Okay. Yeah. So he started from down and he went up. So he flew 330 feet high for a distance of about 660 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Groupil? I don't know. Who knows? I put this one in here because I thought this was fun. So in 1883, okay, so although it was meant to be powered by steam, he built this, I don't even know how to say it. I'm not even going to try. He built this fucking machine.
Sasquatch plane.
Sasquatch plane. So he built the Sasquatch.
Sasquatch plane.
Without any steam powered.
Yeah, okay.
And it still managed to leave the ground with two men on board in 14 mile per hour wind during its test flight. To me, it looks like the new green energy form of travel and a form of exercise.
Yeah.
It's like he's pumping the feet.
Yeah, it's definitely a cross trainer. It's definitely a cross trainer. Mm-hmm.
100%. So get fit while you get to work, people. Get fit while you get to work.
Ass of steel.
Yeah, and then we've got Otto. So his unpowered glider was the first that could repeatedly and reliably achieve manned flight over long distances. So he built the first reliable glider, people.
Hmm.
Yeah. So because of how successful it was, the public and scientific audiences began to believe that flight was actually both possible and practical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was the first one to enter Melbourne's Birdman Rally. I like it.
Okay. So we're moving on to those two. And everyone knows who those two are, right? The Wright brothers.
Right.
A joke, right? Right. There was no pun in that. They made that pun. I didn't.
That's all you meant.
No. I can't make a pun if I don't know I'm doing it, okay? Doesn't work. So I didn't do a deep dive into them because everyone knows who the fuck they are.
Yeah.
So Wilbur and Orville Wright built the first successful glider in 1902. And decided that it was then the perfect time to go to the next level and build a powered flying machine. So all consumed, they spent their time designing something new. And by December 17, 1903, so just a year later, they were ready to test their new creation. So the brothers made four test flights over Kitty Hawk, amazing name, with their powered flying machine. And that was the first aeroplane to be invented.
But how did it work?
How did they do it?
That's what I want to know. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. That's the whole point of this segment. How? Yeah. Fucking how?
Yeah. Well, I don't really know. So I've put up a picture for the girls to how I thought planes flew. So you got air and magic at the front. Then at the wings, you've got some more air and some very important magic. And then at the tail end, you've got some more air and some more magic.
Yeah.
So I figured that's how planes worked.
Yep.
So as the air and the magic work, it then creates a mysterious dick pic. I take it judging by the artisticness, Bianca drew a penis.
Oh,
Amy drew it. Very good. I'm going to put that up on the blog for everyone to see.
I was very impressed by this picture and with air and magic around the plane, because literally that's exactly how I think planes fly. But as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, looks like a penis. So I drew a dick and balls below her airplane picture and just waited for her to see it. And it was funny.
Yeah, those boobs really need to be trimmed
this whole time.
I'm just saying.
Been sitting here very patiently waiting for you to get to this video, yes. Sarah. You have no idea.
I appreciate the artwork. I will put it on the blog for all to see.
Good.
Yeah. So how does this actually work?
Yeah.
So I did a lot of research and I found the most useful research on a kid's website. How to explain things to children. It was so helpful.
That would have been really good to find to explain all the things. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So basic. I loved it. So planes fly. As I said actually earlier in someone else's, the planes fight by combining four aspects: thrust, drag, weight, and lift.
Yeah.
No thrust jokes. No. Awesome. So
I did a dick pic. Like, what more do you want from me?
I don't know, Amy. I expected more. So
I'm gonna fuck with you so hard next week. You have no idea what's coming your way.
That's fun, you do that. So, when thrust produced by the engines is greater than the force of the drag, the aeroplane moves forward. When the forward motion is enough to produce the force of lift, that is greater than the weight of the aeroplane, it moves upwards.
Okay. Somehow convinced I am that makes sense. No, keep going.
Really?
It sounds like magic. Yeah.
It still sounds like magic.
Well, okay. So propellers are shaped like wings.
Yeah.
And they also generate lift, except that lift is forward motion instead of upward motion because the propellers are on the front. They're not on the top like a helicopter.
They're moving it forward.
They're moving it forward. Yeah,
so they're giving it thrust.
Yeah, okay. So thrust is a bit like lift, but forward motion.
Yeah. Forward lift. Yeah.
Lift. So each propeller is made up of two or more blades. So
yeah,
gives it that nice power. Jet planes do not have propellers. So how do they work?
Yeah.
So instead, they have jet engines. That move the aeroplane
Mate,
forward.
You know this before you looked it up either. Don't act though smart.
Yeah, I knew that one. So that's through another, so it moves it forward through another physical principle discovered by Sir Isaac Newton. And this is the third law of motion. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Okay. So basically, when you have a lot of pressure, the pressure needs to go somewhere, right? It will then come out, but the force of the pressure will move whatever it's come out of forward.
Okay. Okay.
That's pretty much what is propelling it. It's firepower.
Okay.
Yeah. So where was I up to? I don't even know.
Flaps.
Flaps. We're up to flaps. I had so much fun Googling aeroplane flaps.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you just typed in flaps, you'd be getting something a whole lot different.
I typed in
flaps. That explains the search history on our Chrome extension. Yeah.
That was you, Amy.
Oh, I thought someone had jumped the fence, but no, Sarah's just trying to figure out how flaps work. Yeah.
Playing flaps. So any other flaps, that's Amy's Google search. Just saying.
And I was not researching planes, FYI.
So flaps are usually mounted on the wings, trailing edge of the fixed wing. So you've got, I don't understand the whole concept of fixed wing. Why aren't they just called wings? Here's another thing I don't know.
Otherwise they'd fall off, right?
Well, then why would you have unfixed wings?
Exactly.
Yeah, it makes no fucking sense. So they're on the front of the wings. So the flaps are used to reduce the takeoff distance and the landing distance. So they also cause an increase in the drag. So they are retracted when they're not needed.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why you see them when they're on the runway and they're flap, flap, flap.
Yeah, like I've had a wing seat a few times and I've seen them go back to flat again. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what are they doing? Do they need to do that?
Why is there ice on it? Why is there ice on it?
What's that thing on the wing? Look.
Something.
There's so many things that I just go, what the fuck? Flying freaks me out, by the way. Just putting it out there. It freaks me out. The landings and the takeoffs. While you're up there, it's fine because don't look out the window. It's fine.
I love it. I love watching.
I love looking out the window.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Watching the towns and the cities get smaller and smaller. Like Beetlejuice.
And then when you do the big circle around Melbourne Airport and it just goes and you feel like you're sideways and just like, yes, this is awesome.
Or when you go into Queensland and you have to do that full fucking turn shit and then you're like, oh, my God, we're going to hit those houses. This is why Sarah doesn't look out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now after your flaps, what about helicopters? How do they move forward? They've got their rotors on the top, so they don't have their propellers on the front like fixed wing planes. No, they're at the top. So wouldn't you expect them to just go up? How do they move forward and sideways?
I thought it was like the little one on the back.
Turns out no.
Oh.
Yeah. So what they do is they actually move the rotor at the top. It can tilt. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you tilt it to where you need it to go. And that's how a helicopter works, people.
That's so much simpler than what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I've got a whole heap of shit written for it, but I just pretty much dumbed it all down to that's how it worked.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Yeah. You just move the rotor forward, tilt it backwards, sideways.
Yeah.
And that's how a helicopter works.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's me. I hope this has helped you somewhat. I still have no idea how it really works, but
I feel much more confident taking over from the pilot now and flying the plane. Now I have some idea how it all works. Thanks, Sarah.
That's great. I'm never getting on that plane.
I can Google.
Get it badly.
Yeah, we can just Google what the buttons are. And surely autopilot, just chuck it on that and you're fine.
I know a pilot. Can't we just hire him to fly somewhere?
Oh, no, I'm going to assume that terrorists have taken over my plane, like passenger 57 or something like that, and I'm going to have to be the captain now. So, yeah.
Okay.
I feel better now about flying the plane.
You do that on your plane.
Done.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Well done, Sarah. I feel comfortable about planes flying now.
Yeah. Excellent. I don't feel like it's all magic and Jesus tears, so.
Yeah. Science magic.
Anyone who listens to this, I'm sorry, you are now dumber for having listened.
I award you no points and may God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah.
So who's next?
All that. Bianca. Yes, it's me. No, I was just thinking, like, after all that, the only thing they take away from it is flaps are funny.
Flaps are funny. Flaps are drawing dick pics and putting them in Sarah's segment is also funny.
Yeah. All right. So, I chose cryptocurrency. I chose this because despite owning crypto, I legit have no idea how it all works.
I legit have no idea how it works and I don't own it. So,
I've invested money into something that I don't tangibly know how it works.
That's 99% of people who've invested money in something. So, that's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I actually just wanted to do a little disclaimer before I begin. I really need to say that the following is in no part financial advice. All I wish to do is to better educate myself and these bitches. I would say thank you to nerdwallet.com, cryptocurrencyfacts.com, investpedia.com, iconicholding.com, millsbridge.com.au, and coinmarketcap.com for all the following information.
Y'all, it's their fault if you get it wrong, not ours. Yeah. Sue us. I dare you. Come at me, fool.
That's why I had the disclaimer. Okay.
Well, you people are full on.
It's investing money. So and with any investment, you've really got to weigh the pros and the cons, and you've got to research it yourself and never
take. If our listeners are dumb enough to take our advice on investing, that's on them. They should know by now.
Yeah.
It's a famous arrow.
I don't think any of the wine we've drunk's really gone up in value. So, yeah. Yeah. I don't think they're going to rush out and get cryptocurrency. But anyway. Cryptocurrency is a form of payment that can be exchanged online for goods and services. Many companies have issued their own currencies called tokens. These can be traded specifically for goods or services that the company provides. Think of them as you would arcade tokens or casino chips.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Disneyland money.
Yes, Disneyland money. Yeah.
No, I was thinking arcade money.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. You do need to exchange real currency for the cryptocurrency to access the goods or services. So cryptocurrencies work using a technology called blockchain. Blockchain is a decentralized technology spread across many computers that manages and records transactions. So it's basically one big long code, super complicated. I did try to find a picture of a code, could not find one. I don't know. It's hidden. Anyway, so part of the appeal of this technology is its security, because it is such a long code and it is so hard to work out. And you can't mathematically work it out yourself unless you're a super genius. So you do have to use a computer.
You've got to be Spock level nerd here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So cryptocurrency essentially is a software, if that makes more sense. So every function from how transactions are recorded to how data is stored is dictated by the code. So especially for cryptocurrencies whose main function is to act as money, cryptocurrency transactions are typically stored in a type of database known as blockchain. Other cryptos use unique technology, but the gist is the same. What we think of as cryptocurrency, for example, one Bitcoin, is just numbers recorded on a cryptocurrency's blockchain. Another word for that is token, as I said before. So cryptocurrencies are created by algorithms, as I was saying, super math, and they rely on cryptography, which is why it's called crypto. And so lots of people are scared by the fact that it's called cryptocurrency because of the word crypto, and they immediately think of security breaches, like a crypto attack, you know. It's got a lot of negative connotations to it.
I think of dead people in a crypt. That's just me.
Yeah, well, it's still a negative connotation. Like, it's still a negative thought in mind that
they're
it's crypto.
Really pretty people. They're very pretty.
So cryptocurrency software is decentralized and distributed, meaning it is hosted on many people's computers across the world, instead of on just one server by one company.
It's also very largely, very much a currency that cannot be managed or monitored by governments, making it very, very hard to trace, making illegal activity very much drawn to this because of governments not being able to trace it or manage it.
I debunk that myth in a moment. The code of the cryptocurrency defines things like maximum supply, mining rewards, etc. Thus, for most cryptocurrencies, the main new coins are created is by people all over the world running hardware that adds transactions to the blockchain. Otherwise, cryptocurrency tokens are created by other mechanisms contained in the cryptocurrency software. There are more than 10,000 different cryptocurrencies traded publicly, according to CoinMarketCap.com, which is a market research website. And cryptocurrencies continue to proliferate, raising money through initial coin offerings or ICOs. The total value of all cryptocurrencies on May 27th, 2021 was more than $1.7 trillion, which was actually down from April's high of $2.2 trillion. According to CoinMarketCap, the total value of all Bitcoins, the most popular digital currency, was pegged at about $735 billion, which is down from its April high of $1.2 trillion. Just a fact, because the supply and inflation of a given cryptocurrency is defined by code, it is known upfront whether a coin will be inflationary or deflationary. So we instantly know that because of all the math that goes into it. The only way to change this is to change the software. So to change the software, the majority of the computers running the code, they have to agree on the upgrade. In most cases, something like a change to the rate of supply would result in a fork, so a new version of the software. Given all of this, it is unlikely the supply or rate of issuance of a coin like Bitcoin would ever be changed. Thus, we can be confident that that only coins that will ever be issued are the ones defined by the code. So I'm going to just read out a few of the best cryptocurrencies by market capitalization. So these are the 10 largest trading cryptocurrencies in the market at the moment. And this is from coinmarketcap.com. So Bitcoin, 735.3 billion. Ethereum, which is at 324.2 billion. Tether, which is at 61 billion. Binance Coin, which is at 57.5 billion. Cardano, which is 54.6 billion. XRP, also known as Ripple, is 46.5 billion. Dogecoin, 44 billion. I own Dogecoin. Polkadot, 22.1 billion. USD coin is 21.9 billion. And internet computer is 16.7 billion. Like I said in the beginning and just then, I own some crypto and I am a proud owner of Doge. I am a Doge holder. I've seen this coin and Bitcoin for that matter rise and fall under the word of Mr. Elon Musk. I actually personally think it's a little disturbing that one man can have so much influence. He is in no part a creator of these coins. He actually doesn't have any part in the coins. He doesn't own, he's never created any sort of cryptocurrency. He just tweets his thoughts and people hang on every word. And in true narcissism, he tweeted that he is the Doge father. Like, really? The coin shut up. It did, but it was back in April. If you don't believe me, go to his tweets. They're still there. He also professed that he is going to put a literal Doge coin on the literal moon. Also, still in his tweet logs. Go have a look. The sad thing is I'm actually crossing my fingers and hoping that he does this because then the coin's value actually goes up. And that's really sad. And that is the sad thing about this cryptocurrency sort of thing. There is no tangible way to predict the future of a coin at all because of the way that it is created, as I said before. And so there is no mathematical way to predict, we're in July. So by August, it's going to, it's going to be at this price. Nope, there's no way to know, literally no way to know. Basically, we hang on people like Elon Musk, Matt Wallace is another one. He just switched from being this massive Doge promoter to promoting another one, which I don't have access to in my particular program because there's always different programs you can use. And it's sort of sad in that way that it does hang on these influential people. You can, if you've got enough Doge, you can buy a Tesla. Elon Musk did for a bit there stop Bitcoin from being used to buy Teslas because of the environmental impact, which I'm going to go straight into my myths now. And my first myth, digital currencies are bad for the environment. So I read a lot of things at that time when Elon Musk did tweet that, it was bad for the environment. So he was going to sell all his Bitcoin, and that's why Bitcoin tanked. It dropped. It just, the ass fell out of it. People lost so much money. I feel so bad for them. I really do. I mean, I'll be upfront. I only invested $10. So, I mean, I doubled my money, and then what I lost, I still was like, meh, that's fine. Like, I still haven't dropped below $10. So, for me, it hasn't affected my life, but I could imagine someone who's invested $10,000, like
$20,000, $100,000, God knows what.
Because there are a lot of superannuation companies now and share portfolios that you can add Bitcoin into. And yeah, like the amount that, yeah, they dropped is pretty sad. Anyway, so there is reason for concern about the impact of digital currencies on the environment. As cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ether have taken off, so too is the number of mining operations around the world. Each of the individual mining rigs, so mining computer, requires a massive amount of computer power. And this in turn requires a large amount of electricity. Computers actually cost a lot to run. So what's worth remembering, however, is that the value of mining for a cryptocurrency nearly always outweighs the real world cost. So the amount you would spend on electricity for one Bitcoin, well, you're getting a $63,000 return on it.
So, yeah, but that doesn't make it any better for the environment. It makes it better for you. So.
Yeah. But yeah, it does outweigh it in that way when you start looking at banks. Banks require way more power.
Yes.
Because you've got all the lights, all the offices, all the servers, the electronic payment methods, asset exchanges, like those modern banks, those brick and mortar institutions actually use a lot more power than any of these Bitcoin mining rigs. So, I mean, there should be more sustainable ways, absolutely. And I did do a lot of reading back in April. But, yeah, it is one of those things. It's actually not as bad for the environment as some people make out. Especially if you're the sort of person who is environmentally conscious. And so you've got your mining rig, but you've got solar panels. So you're already, you know, drawing your power's from the sun anyway. That sort of thing, you're basically negating anything that you're doing, which is awesome. More people should probably do it like that. So my next myth is Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are mostly used for illegal transactions. So the anonymity. Not one of those words that makes me sound like I've got an itch in the middle of my brain. The anonymity makes it appear to be an attractive alternative for illegal transactions. However, this anonymity is really an illusion. Bitcoin is one of the most transparent currency systems to have ever existed. Every Bitcoin transaction is recorded on a public ledger called a blockchain. The blockchain is essentially a data record which is decentralized, meaning the data cannot be amended or tampered with. A report by the UK Treasury in late 2017 found a lack of evidence supporting illegal transactions used with Bitcoin. In fact, over a four-year study, only 0.61% of money entering conversion services were from verifiably illicit sources. So less than 1%.
Can I just break down a few words for you? Verifiably illicit.
Illicit, yeah.
Right. You have to verify that they're illicit. But if they are, you know, in the Bitcoin world with all of this, like, you know, anonymity, well, of course you can't fucking find them. That's why they can't be verified. And hence, you would only have a small amount that would be verifiably illicit because they're the fuckers that got caught.
Yeah, because it's so transparent. You've got your IP address. You've got all these things that are linked to you. All your information's there. You bought it.
However, what governments have problems with is them working with the cryptocurrencies. And Bitcoin might be one that's a little bit more transparent than what it was, because I've looked at a few cases on illegal activity with Bitcoin. Bitcoin probably is, yeah, like you said, probably one of the more transparent ones. But if you just got, like, I don't know, Sarah currency. I don't know. Sarah doesn't have her own crypto.
Yeah, so like,
she still doesn't know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah,
that she knows of.
There's an altcoin such as Monero. That one could be used for illicit transactions because it's not as transparent, because it's not it's not decentralized.
Correct. What the AML CTF Act, which is the, hang on, let me get this right, Anti-Money Laundering Counter-Terrorism Finance Act has a problem with is electronic currency can be anything, and it can be invented by anyone. And no one knows what it means or where some things come from. Maybe not Bitcoin, but the electronic currency has been a problem for illegal activity. I'm definitely not saying that anybody who owns electronic currency is a criminal. No way. This is just like the new world, people. We need to get on board. That's why we have to learn this stuff. I'm just saying it can be used that way.
Yeah, just as cash can.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. It's just like cash. You can
learn. Yeah. It is a very small percentage, though. It's not that, like, oh my God, it's a really bad problem and we should, you know, really do something about this because holy shit, everybody's using it. No.
If it was bad, they'd shut it down. They'd make it illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. So the another myth is that the Bitcoin bubble is waiting to burst. So like I was saying before, it went up and then it went down. So a financial bubble is an asset that's price deviates from its intrinsic value. Bitcoin has been commonly compared to the tulip mania boom of the 17th century in Europe. In a nutshell, the tulip bubble burst because tulips were a terrible store of value due to its lifespan and fungibility. Bitcoins, however, are immutable and they can be sent anywhere in the world within minutes without the need of an intermediary. I meant to write another word in there. Yeah, source, that's it.
Got your back, mate.
Yeah, put your back against mine. So, furthermore, there are a finite number of Bitcoins that will ever exist. So that makes them in high demand, which is why the price went up. It's hardly fair to compare the tulip mania bubble to the Bitcoin bubble, as it's only in its early stages and could very well last another 20 years. And so, yeah. I don't think it's going to burst anytime soon. I think it's still going to be worth money. Another myth is people believe, well, they look at it and go, oh, it's $65,000 for one Bitcoin. It's too expensive. I don't have enough money to buy one. Well, yes, look, I know this may sound silly to those who are familiar with crypto, but one of the primary benefits of crypto is nearly all the assets are fractionalized or divisible into many parts. One Bitcoin, for instance, is divisible into 8 decimal places, meaning the smallest amount of Bitcoin one can own is 0.00000001. We call this microscopic unit a Satoshi, or Sat, after Bitcoin's founder, Satoshi Nakamoto. If when Bitcoin hits the 100,000 price that everybody's waiting for, each Satoshi will be worth 0.001, or 1/10 of a penny. This unit is easily purchasable and usable on the Bitcoin network. So yes, So that is my segment, and it's clear as mud as to what cryptocurrency is. I would have loved to have seen, like, I really wanted to see a blockchain. Like, I wanted to see the code, but obviously people can't just show the code, because if they show the code, that's, that could be stolen.
If they show the code, wouldn't other nerds like try to hack it?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, there's no way for me to get a picture of it. But I sort of understand, because I had really nerd friends and stuff like that who are big into computers. And I built computer back in the day, so I know a little bit. I was never a hacker. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm all for crypto. And, yeah.
I don't get it. And I feel like I'd make really dumb decisions with my money if I was to invest in it, because I don't get it. And that's why I haven't bought into it. But I know lots of people that have.
Yeah. It's definitely, like, so I started off with shares. So,
yeah. So I haven't done that either, because, again, don't know enough about it, would probably make stupid decisions and throw my money in the bin.
Yeah. So it's more of a millennial thinking. Anybody who's older, like Gen X and older than that, they're less likely to invest in crypto or shares because it's not something tangible. Like, you need money.
Correct.
I
need to see it.
You need to buy a house as an asset. I could buy cryptocurrency as an asset.
You could buy airspace in freaking Tokyo for an asset. Like, there's lots of assets. Just because you can't touch it doesn't mean that it's not valuable.
Yeah. So it is, it can be somewhat of an older thinking that it's, yeah, more people with an older thought pattern will steer away from it. So, yeah. Mm. Yeah. That is my crypto talk.
Thank you. I know exactly the same amount about Bitcoin that I did before you.
While I was listening, Sarah's brain going do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And now I talk forever and now I need wine.
There was numbers, and then as soon as you mentioned a number, my brain went, oh, my God, math! No.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of math. Yeah.
See that episode of The Simpsons where they're just like, has anybody got something to say? And Homer's sitting there going, na 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 na, hey!
I love that song.
All right, Amy, what are you going to debunk, whatever for us right now?
What are you going to try and tell us the science wizards?
Yeah, what am I going to try and explain that I didn't know before and I still don't really understand now? Awesome.
Yeah.
The whole premise of this topic was there's no way to know. And that means, like, for us, that's a saying that we would say when we don't understand something and we feel like the knowledge of how that actually works is so far out of our reach. It should be out of the reach of everybody. It should be magic. That's why it's called science magic, right?
That's everything for me.
Just literally everything for me too, mate. Yeah. So I, as you would know by now, our loyal listeners, I am hopeless when it comes to technology. I don't know why. My dad was a tech head and we had a computer before most of my friends. In fact, I don't even really remember a time where we didn't have a computer. So in about 94, 95, there was an article in Dolly Magazines. Everybody remember Dolly Magazine?
Yeah, I started reading a segment and I was like, Dolly Magazine, 94, 95. You were like 10 or 11. And then I read down, I was like, yeah, you were. What are you reading Dolly so young? Oh, my God.
Because my mum didn't really read it properly when she allowed me to buy it. So anyway, I learned lots of things about stuff. Anyway, that's a whole nother. Things you learnt from Dolly Magazine is going to be a whole nother topic. Anyway, so I was reading through Dolly Magazine and it started telling us about the wonderful world of the internet. Hence my segment. How does the internet work? Because Amy still doesn't get it. Yeah. So in this article, I was reading about how some of our favourite celebrities had things called web pages where you could find out heaps of things about them. Once I discovered that Jonathan Taylor Thomas had a webpage, I was in like Flynn was in. So bring me one internet, good sir. That's what I was like. Yeah, 10 years old. Bring me one internet, good sir. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so as any good nerd would do, I, back in the day, signed up for an introduction to the internet class at my local library. Yeah, because that's what you did. And it was the only place that I knew of that had this internet thing.
Yeah.
So the kind librarian at my local library explained to me as best as she could, because, you know, 10-year-old Amy, like, yeah, I'm an idiot now. You should have seen me back then. Yeah. She tried to explain to me how the internet works. My key takeaway from what she was trying to tell me was they invented something so computers could talk to each other, like with phone lines, like phones do. Like they could ring each other, basically, and then talk to each other. That's how it worked. However, if you hook the computer up to a phone line, you could go to a place that doesn't actually exist and look at JTT. And I wouldn't have to wait for the next edition of my Teen Trash magazine. So that was what I got. Computers talk to each other and I can find out more information about JTT. That's what I got. That was my main takeaway. Yeah. So I used the internet the other day to look up recent pictures of JTT because he seems to have fallen off the end of the earth. So I'm still using it for the purpose that I set out to use the internet for. Yeah, still doing it. Yeah. That was 27 years ago, just putting it out there.
But same.
Anyway.
I do the same.
Do you think I understand the internet any better today? Fuck no. No. So in my segment tonight, I'm going to walk you through my research about how the internet works because I still don't really get it. I've done this segment. I get it a little bit more than what I did, but still, it's all science magic to me. Okay, so I started Googling, how does the internet work? I read a few articles and I still didn't get it. So I tried, how does the internet work? Simple. Still no joy. still too dumb. Yeah.
Have you tried then how does the internet work for dummies?
That's actually the next thing I did, Sarah. That's exactly what I did. I tried, how does the internet work, dummies? Success! I found some articles written for people like me who have no fucking idea what's going on. That's great.
Yeah, you guys went real simple with finding where your shit, all your stuff. And I went to five or six different fucking websites and my own knowledge.
My own knowledge doesn't exist. I probably went to about 20 websites and everything I read didn't make any sense. I had to keep dumbing it down myself. I did a lot of reading for this. Yeah.
I just went to the most, basic of websites and it said for kids. And I went, yeah, that's about me.
All right, let me break this down for you. Okay, so the internet has been around in some way, shape, or form since the late 80s.
Yep.
I remember it becoming a thing in about 95.
Nope.
Lots of people use the word internet to mean going online. Actually, internet is nothing more than a basic computer network. So you think of it like a telephone network or a network of highways that crisscross the world, basically. Yeah. So telephones and highways like telephones and highways are networks just like the internet. The things that you say on the telephone and the traffic that travels down the roads on the top of the basic network.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So in much the same way, things like the World Wide Web, so the information pages that we can browse online, instant message chat programs and music downloading and TV streaming goes through the internet and file sharing are all things that run on top of a basic computer network that we call the internet.
Yeah, which is why it's called the information superhighway.
Correct. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that was because nerds could get information faster, but anyway, whatever. Yeah. I know better than this one. Yeah. Anyway, so the internet has become so important in our everyday lives that our government invested fuck tons of money in the National Broadband Network, otherwise known as the NBN, in an attempt to provide most of Australia with reliable internet. So and it's important. Well, sort of. Anyway, so basically, but for people out in farmlands who've never had the internet before, they have it now. They've never had it before.
Mm. So in fact, their internet's
CB radios.
Yeah.
And now they can do it from screens and they can see each other.
Yeah.
Is their internet better than ours? Probably.
Yeah, generally.
Probably.
They trial run it out in the country first before they bring it into cities. Because there's too many people in the city, so more people will complain. Whereas out in the country, like, oh, yeah, this is, we can see where this works and how this works and why it's not working.
If it actually worked, people wouldn't complain.
Well,
just saying.
It does work. It's just that when you put too much pressure on it, in certain places where it's not necessarily built for it, which I'll explain to you my worked example notion later. Effectively, how it works, I always thought of the internet as parallel universe where things actually existed, but it turns out that everything that you can access on the internet comes from somebody else's computer or is stored on a server, which is a giant computer, somewhere on Earth. See, if you've ever seen that episode of Futurama, if anybody remembers that show where he goes to the internet, that's basically what I thought it was. Yeah. I thought it was this, theoretical place that you could just, go. But no, everything that you can access actually lives somewhere in a physical place on Earth.
Yeah, our drive that we're using right now to our Google Docs.
Yep.
It's stored in the Google server.
It lives somewhere, wherever the Google server lives that holds our information, because there's probably thousands around the world now. Anyway, so while we were all locked down last year and working from home, people complaining that the internet was being really slow. My dumb ass said to Bianca, but why? It's not like the internet is something measurable like water. We can't run out of internet. I mean, if we were all using the internet at work, why is it slower when we're at home? It's not like we're using any more internet. I think Bianca's head exploded from all the stupid that was coming out of my face. She very calmly explained to me that the connections to our homes are nothing like those that we have at work. So our internet system that's in our residential areas is not designed to work for the internet demands that we would have somewhere like work. So in like commercial settings. Yeah. So when everybody jumps on from home, you put a demand on a system that's not built for it. Because when they were rolling out the NBN, when did they think we would go through four lockdowns?
Yeah.
When was that ever a concept?
Yeah.
Never. Never. Yeah. So when everyone jumps on from home to do work or school, there's too much demand for the residential system and, well, it runs slow. So, yeah.
Yep.
Look, I mean, that sounds really obvious when you explain it like that. But I didn't get it. I did not understand it. I caved somebody's face in, actually, when I was talking online. I was talking to somebody. I can't remember what I was. I think I was getting something fixed. And I was talking to some young chickie in a call center somewhere. And she was like, yeah, it's like so slow where I live. I'm just like, yeah, it's not like we're running out of internet. Like, how is this a thing? And she's like, yeah, right? She was fully on my wavelength. Yeah, she fully got it. Where I was coming from. Yeah, she got it. Bianca just thought I was an idiot. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
And yes, and I did try to explain fiber to the node and then fiber to the home and the difference between that, but I could hear it was basically whistling in your ears. It just went in and out.
Yeah, it was going like this. Na, 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 na. Hey! Na, 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 na. Yeah, that was what was going on.
Yeah.
In closing, I would like to assure our listeners that now I have some sort of basic understanding of how the internet works. And it's also a bit of a warning. If I start to really understand this internet thing, I could be somewhat dangerous. When I wrote this part of my segment, I thought to myself, oh, good, now I'll be on several watch lists. And then I laughed. I went, I was already on those watch lists. Yeah. It's fine. I was already there. That's fine.
Yes, please delete my search history if I die.
That's why we use the Google Drive to search everything, remember, so that then we have access to do that. Yeah. There, I'll delete your flat.
Oh, I thought it was so we could pin everything on Bianca.
Well, there's that too, but you weren't supposed to tell her that. That was part of the grand plan, so only one of us had to go to prison. Remember, Sarah?
I'm the only one who would make it in prison. You two wouldn't fucking make it.
Well, why do you think we nominated you as tribute?
Yeah.
Look, Sarah and I are way too pretty for prison. We already discussed this.
And Amy's already told me she'll sell me for a packet of cigarettes.
Yes. Yes, she will. Would. Yeah.
In a heartbeat. And that's not even if we went to prison. Yeah, so, yeah.
She's a cunt. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why we keep her in a cage. Like prison, but she gets way more snacks.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. No, awesome. I understand the internet so much more. I actually did learn something.
My head's collapsing. I need another bottle of wine.
Fun facts about the internet. The first internet-enabled computer was at Melbourne University, and it was in 1989, and it communicated with a university in Hawaii.
Nice.
Yeah, Melbourne Uni.
Could you imagine that first transmission? It would have been like, hey, how are you? Oh, it's beautiful here, nice sunny weather. It's fucking cold. And then just like ended the trade. They ended. Like, oh, your chat participant has left the chat. Fuck you, it's cold.
I believe it would have been an email exchange, and you can just imagine the amount of times that they would have gone reply all, and it just, because it's pretty bad now, but could you imagine how bad the first ones were? Oh, just my heart. No.
Well, it was the first, so they couldn't really reply to many. Reply all that one person.
Oh, God. I had another fact about it too, but I've forgotten. No. Anyway, I had so much fun researching this topic as I did with other topics over the last few weeks. I actually did have fun researching. However, we would love some topic suggestions from you guys. Bring them on in. Come on. Come at us. Just throw these topics at us at frontofmindfire@gmail.com. We need it. We love it. We will shout you out. Even if you're another podcast, we will shout you out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, throw them at us. Anyway, to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time and listening to all that rubbish. We hope
you're not calling them facts.
Yeah.
Stop calling them facts.
Yeah. We hope that you found it entertaining. Yeah. Don't make important decisions from any of that, please.
No.
Unless it's in relation to the purchase and use of a protection chainsaw, we highly endorse that.
Definitely do that.
We haven't said that in a while, so I figure, we need to remind people that a protection chainsaw, you still need one of those.
Do that, but don't fly off the roof.
Yeah. No.
Unless you have a tail.
Well, yeah. And participating
in the endorsed by Friday Night Wine Fight.
All right, people. Peace out. Bye.
Bye. Bye.